The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS Denver,
a Salem Media Group station.
He is your worst nightmare. He's a radio host with a brain. That means he can blow your mind whenever he feels like it. Peter Boyle on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Peter's working his way back to the good old U.S. of A., scheduled to be in the chair here on Friday morning. Stephen Tubbs has the show tomorrow if the schedule continues as expected. I'm Randy Corcoran, final hour. I'll be back on Saturday for our regular Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, 6 to 9 a.m., Denver's only live local conservative Saturday morning show. And, I've got a lot of texts coming in. I'll not vote for Gardner. I'm not going to do it anymore. Ken Buck has lost it. He's no longer the strong conservative. And, you know, I will just say to everyone who is frustrated or complaining, please, every morning, look at yourself in the mirror and ask, what are you doing to influence these politicians to make sure your neighborhood, your precinct, your district are covered, working to support a candidate, to get out the vote? Very, very important to continue the pushback, but we also have to be in action. And I promised Frosty he could wrap up, and let's do that real quick. Frosty, go ahead with your second point.
Yeah, well, thank you. And the second point is this. We, the American people, after 30 years of invasion of our country and our congressional critters elected by us actually do more to help illegal aliens and mass immigration. And what I've made this point before, and I want everyone to appreciate this. Colorado is about to add 5 million more people, and this is a direct result from our borders being unsecured, but it's also a result of legal immigration of over 1 million people per year and their birth rates. We're jumping from 300 million in 2006 to 440 million by 2050, and we're already 30 million into it. So if I get on your show 10 years from now, we will have over 35 million more people in this country. It's unsustainable, and we need a national discussion about what we're handing over to our children, because if we continue on this path, Randy, we're going to hand over and I've traveled all over the world. I've seen every continent on the planet. I've seen overpopulation, and it's not a nice thing. And once it lands, there's nothing you can do about it but cope, and you can't cope with it because water, energy, resources, arable land, quality of life, and standard of living all degrade. Do you appreciate this understanding?
Listen, this is the topic of a full hour or a full show. Our guest is on the line now. I appreciate you holding over and finishing your point. And always, you know, check in on Saturday when things are when we've got a little more time to dig deep. But, it all comes back to the election. We've got these off-year elections in 2019, the big presidential reelect year in 2020. Are the Republicans handling this thing right? And, I just can't think of anybody better. Oh, I promised Joe, didn't I? You know what, Billy, tell Joe if he can call back in a half an hour. We'll put him on. I know his call dropped, but I don't want to keep John Andrews waiting any longer. He is truly the elder conservative statesman of Colorado right now. He's a dear friend. I've learned so much in conversation with him, even though we don't always agree. But he's kind enough to join us now, and John, I can't thank you enough.
Well, Randy, thanks for fitting me in. You know, I am such an elder statesman that every tick of the clock for me is now an uncertainty. So I'm glad to be with you this morning.
Well, I appreciate it. And it's been, 14 years since you ended your tenure as the president of the state Senate, or your run in the Senate, and how things have changed here in Colorado.
Yes, I wouldn't have expected that it would be such a lean period that Republicans were entering after the Democrat sweep of 2004, which they consolidated by taking the governorship as Bill Owens departed in 2000, and six. There have been a few flickers along the way, but it's been a long, tough run. We've got to hang tough and figure that the Liberals are going to do us a favor by overplaying their hand. There's already some indications of that, and I believe the pendulum's going to swing. But it requires fidelity and fortitude from our side.
Did you hear the interview with Ken Buck that I did?
I missed it. I wish I'd heard it.
All right. Well, you know, one of my biggest frustrations, and Ken and I go way back, all the respect in the world, you know, he took a principled position on the censure of Adam Schiff based on the history of censures and when that tool is appropriate. He's fighting for, you know, Christians and other refugees who are hurting around the country. But every time the president does something, it seems like first to the microphone are Republicans to find some level of fault. And it seems to me, and we heard a little bit of this from Ken Buck when he said that the president could get more mileage out of touting the economy, talking about the trade agreement between Canada and Mexico that's languishing because Nancy Pelosi is pursuing this ridiculous kangaroo court impeachment process. And instead, you know, he'll come out and use a word like, oh, lynching yesterday. And my point to him is that Donald Trump showed Republicans what it takes to win an election in the 21st century in the political climate that's been created by the radical left that now runs the Democrat Party. And yet it seems to me like Republicans are trying to change the president instead of understanding that this president is showing him what it takes to win now. What's your thought on that?
I absolutely agree with you, Randy. Donald Trump can be maddening, but I see him as the great disruptor, the leader that America so desperately needed at this point after a long, long run of, let's be honest, bipartisan misrule, misgovernment in Washington, D.C. and in the state capitals, unfortunately, including our own at times. And as imperfect as Trump is, he knows better than to come halfway into a fight where the other side is using all its weapons. He'll never bring a knife to a gunfight, as the saying goes. And our side has gotten so used to wearing a kick me sign that we hardly know how to behave when we have a leader who fights back 100%, always with perfect wisdom, no, always with the discretion or finesse that we might wish for, no. But he is a leader fighting for us. He is starting to put right the domestic policy situation, especially the stagnant economy that we suffered with. He is starting to put right America's overreach around the world, one step, sometimes two steps forward, one step back, feeling his way on policy, be it Syria, Turkey border, wherever around the world, the trade negotiations with China. But this is a leader that America has needed so very, very much. And it does grieve and distress me that Republicans, the party that defends the Constitution, that believes in American exceptionalism, are constantly finding themselves on the wrong side.
Yeah, and you can just, as I mentioned before, as soon as the president makes a decision that Republicans disagree with, even if they feel compelled to run to the microphone and express their position, you don't then hear the follow-up. You don't then hear the, I stand with this president for this raging economy. The USMC needs to be passed. Nancy Pelosi is sitting on it. This president is negotiating great trade deals for our country. You just never hear the other side. It's like Republicans are more interested in saying something that's going to get them more microphone time, more camera time, than they are in realizing we are in a fight for the survival of Western civilization.
Randy, we who believe in liberty and limited government and Judeo-Christian moral truth and in the particular glorious, exceptional role that America has been assigned in history, imperfect as a country that we may be, we believe in those things, must realize that it is a fight to the death. That doesn't mean we fight unfair or we abandon our own ethics and standards, but for heaven's sake, we've got to come together around the achievable. The achievable, Donald Trump showed us in 2016, was to elect a president who will again put America first and stand for American greatness. And it's achievable to reelect that president in 2020, but not if we're constantly in a circular firing squad, not if we're constantly trying to appease those who have no use for any of the convictions and articles of faith that I just spelled out that makes us Republicans and conservatives and constitutional freedom advocates. We have got to come together around the vast areas of agreement that we have on the right and the agreement that we have with this imperfect but remarkably capable, fearless leader named Donald Trump.
Talking with John Andrews, former speechwriter for Richard Nixon, who actually left the Nixon administration over Watergate, former gubernatorial candidate, Senate president here in the state of Colorado, founder of the Independence Institute, founder of the Centennial Institute and the Western Conservative Summit, founder of Backbone Radio right here on 710 KNUS. In case you're new to Colorado, I just wanted you to know who we were talking to. And John, the hypocrisy that I see among our Republican leadership right now is so frustrating. 4 years as a Tea Party leader, every time we'd get into a primary, and then when the primary was over and there was a candidate and the conservatives or the Tea Partiers weren't satisfied, we were lectured to and told, and I didn't necessarily disagree, that it's time to get on board. It's time to stop sniping at each other. And yet we see Republican leadership at the highest level doing the same thing with the president. And I can't figure out a way to convey that message. I tried to do it a little bit with Ken Buck in our interview, but it seems like the desires, the wisdom, the perspective of the average voter, the average door knocker, phone caller, small check writer is simply ignored by these leaders. Now, you've played in that arena before. Do you have any suggestions for us to get their attention? Because for all the talent and likability quotient of, for instance, a Senator Cory Gardner, what I hear and see from the Republican base right now when it comes to the senator, I don't think he's going to make it in 2020. And it's essential for the president's agenda that Cory Gardner is among the senators that are reelected, whether people or everybody likes him or not.
Well, I wouldn't want to have to play the hand of cards that Senator Cory Gardner holds right now going into 2020, Randy. The polls may not be absolutely accurate, but there's no doubt that Donald Trump's popularity is well underwater in Colorado right now. That's not the same as votes that get cast 13 months from now, November 2020. But if you're Gardner, you have endorsed Trump for re-election, and he has endorsed you for re-election, and yet the vast swaths of the state along the Front Range have no use for President Trump. That includes a good many Republicans and unaffiliated, as well as virtually every Democrat. And so, yeah, Cory Gardner has got a not the greatest hand of cards to play in a tricky environment to play it in. But whether it's my friend Senator Gardner or my friend State Republican Chairman and U.S. Representative Ken Buck or others we could think of, I share with you the frustration and the impatience that the cliche of them getting on message does not involve constantly striving to get patted on the head by the mainstream media and left activists that will never pat Republicans and conservatives on the head except when we become their tame apologists like a Mitt Romney. That is a complete waste of time, I would say to my friend Senator Gardner and my friend Representative Buck. We have got to be emphasizing on the one, and it's a both and. If Ken Buck says, come on, Mr. President, please talk about the economy, the need to pass trade deals, to talk about your strong suit in policy and how the Democrats aren't helping, do that, but also stand up for ourselves vigorously. And if, as the Wall Street Journal editorializes this morning, one looks up the dictionary and finds that the word lynching means when the law is taken into the hands of a mob and unmerited punishment is meted out, if that's lynching, then President Trump, let him use that word. And if there's hurt feeling somewhere, that's not the main thing. The main thing is that we face in America, here's a cliche, existential threat. Fox News mocks Democrats saying that plastic straws are an existential threat. Climate change is an existential threat. No, the existential threat to Americans who love our way of life, our Constitution, our liberties, our right to keep and bear arms, the rule of law, the America First position that we must occupy in the world. The existential threat is from the left. It's from the Democrats and their allies in the media. And we have got to constantly keep our eye on the main threat and fight back vigorously as if our life politically depends on it. Our life does politically depend on it. And what you say, what suggestions have I got? Keep on keeping on. Randy, get yourself over to the University of Colorado Biosciences Department. Get yourself cloned. We need more of you. We need more of Pete Boyles. We need more radio station KNUS. We need Fox News to buck up its spine, which has been bothering me lately, and come back to the Fox News that it used to be. But meanwhile, even as we have Fox News that's wobbly sometimes, we need that cloned and multiplied. We've got to just do more of what is being done by the constitutionally faithful, the liberty fighters, the Tea Partiers like yourself, and trust in the Lord to the outcome. I'm not here to predict that America is going to make it through this existential crisis, but some of us want to be able to look ourselves in the mirror that we fought as honorably, as fiercely, as unyieldingly, as cheerfully as we possibly knew how every day and trust the outcome to the Lord.
Well, you mentioned Donald Trump's support here in the state of Colorado, and, you know, it's always important to remind folks that he performed better as an unknown quantity in Colorado in 2016 than did either John McCain or Mitt Romney. And that's with the – go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. As I read the numbers, the gap was beginning to close year by year, partly because of the unattractive candidates the Democrats were putting up, particularly in the person of Hillary Clinton in 2016. And I think they're going to do us a favor and put up a very unattractive candidate in 2020, whatever that man or woman's name happens to be. So there is an opportunity. And like I said, the polls of October 2019 are not definitive or predictive of the votes that get cast when Coloradans face a real choice between a magnificently successful President Trump and somebody from the Democrat side that wants to run us into the ditch.
Without the enthusiasm of the Republican base, of the Tea Party patriots, of the conservatives, who even those of us who started out skeptically of this president but realize, as you have said, and you early on got on board with this president, that he is the great disruptor, that he has kept so many of his promises, that even though he's not a movement conservative, you know, somebody who is steeped in history and the Federalist Papers and all the things that you and I have enjoyed learning about and allowing to influence our thinking over, you know, years and years and years of reading and talking now, he acts in the conservative way in such a great majority of his time. And if Colorado Republicans, Colorado leadership doesn't help us by jumping on board and expressing that enthusiasm, not just I support this president, but I wish he hadn't said lynching, but actually get on fire, focus the fire on the radical left. Without the support of the base, Cory Gardner doesn't stand a chance in Colorado. They need to quit worrying for the moment about the middle of the roaders or the so-called mysterious soccer moms who don't like the president's behavior, and instead focus on education and schools and safety and all of the things that this president is trying to bring forward, but advocate for this president, or we're going to lose Colorado again in a big way in 2020.
The old saw is that a liberal is somebody that is so fair-minded they won't take their own side in an argument.
Yeah.
Now, Republicans say they're conservative, but look in the mirror, and people should ask themselves, have I been infected with some of that unfortunate virus that makes it difficult for me to take my own side in an argument, which means taking the side of the only president that we've got and the only Republican nominee that we're going to have next year, never mind the Nikki Haley, Mitt Romney, Mark Sanford, Bill Weld fantasies, take the side of those who stand for liberty and limited government and American exceptionalism and America First. And we as a party, we as a conservative liberty movement, and ultimately our imperfect but indomitable, magnificent, and I want to say God-given leader, Donald Trump, we have got to stick together or we're going to be we're going to be crushed, and we're not going to like the America that we're going to be leaving to our children and grandchildren. That haunts me. My grandson, Ian, people have heard me talk about him, high school junior in Littleton, outstanding young guy. I want to leave him as good or better of an America as my grandparents and parents of the greatest generation left me. And right now, it isn't looking good. We can still turn it around, especially since we put Trump in the White House for the past 3 years. But it isn't looking good. We cannot let down the next generation, and it's happening unless we turn it around.
Yeah, there's just no question about it. We haven't even dived into your most amazing and so important speech from the Western Conservative Summit back in July, where you pointed out for the people who simply aren't paying attention the dangers imposed by the infiltration of Islam into our society and Western societies around the globe. Do you have time to sit through a break and spend a few minutes on the other side talking about Islam and Christianity?
I'd be glad to. Thanks.
All right. That's terrific. We'll go ahead and throw him on hold. Didn't want to cut him short. It's too important of a topic to not spend some time delving in. But when we come back, I'll ask John Andrews maybe to just succinctly in a sentence or two advise those of us who are frustrated with Colorado GOP, Republican leadership, the quick desire to always stand up and join the left in condemning something that the president has said or done. How do we overcome that and still do what needs to be done to give Colorado a chance to express its support for the president? And yes, that does include re-elect Cory Gardner. We'll answer that question on the other side. Jump into Islam versus Christianity. John has now been labeled an Islamophobe after his speech. And I will retweet John's speech from the Western Conservative Summit. So if you haven't seen it, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Randy Corporan. I'll do that during this break. Something you'll want to see before this weekend is done. Right now it's 8:21 on the Peter Boyle Show with Randy Corporan here at 710 KNUS. We're back at 8:27. The sun is up. Snow tonight, 65 and sunny by the weekend, though. We work our way through a Wednesday. I'm Randy Corporan in for Peter Boyles. Based on the pictures that I've been receiving from Peter by text, he will have some amazing stories to tell when he returns here on Friday morning. But right now, we're going to continue our conversation with elder conservative statesman of all the state of Colorado, John Andrews. And John, thanks for sticking around.
Fun to be with you this morning, Randy.
Before we jump into Islam versus Christianity, I just asked as we went to break, any words of encouragement or even some stern words for the folks who are saying, you know, I'm going to vote for Trump, but I'm done with the rest of them. They've let me down for the last time.
Know your enemy. I don't mean in the sense of the war, the violence of using bullets instead of ballots, at least not yet. God forbid it comes to that. But I mean there is an enemy of liberty, an enemy of the Constitution, an enemy of the American way of life, an enemy of the very proven concept of the nation state as a way of organizing the human planet. That enemy is the left. Its face in America is the Democratic Party and the mainstream media and the cultural establishment of Hollywood that won't permit Dennis Prager's movies to be seen, and it wishes to silence you and me, and it's big tech that wishes to deplatform us, and it's the big universities. That's the enemy. Is Donald Trump perfect? Of course not. I looked in the mirror this morning. I saw someone terribly imperfect. But we have to know our enemy. We have to rally together for the achievable good, the possible. That's what politics is for mature, thoughtful people, the art of the possible. We don't form a circular firing squad when we have an enemy, figuratively, pouring in a withering fire to destroy our way of life. That's my appeal to myself. John Andrews, take it up a notch today. You could do better today than yesterday. I think we could all say that about ourselves and our neighbors who share our beliefs. It's now or never. It's do or die.
And John, I have always said, and I, of course, haven't been active and involved nearly as long as you have, but I have always said there is a time and a place to take a stand and maybe allow a Republican candidate to lose because they've violated their promises, strayed from principles, or never had them in the first place going in there. But with the opportunity to reelect President Donald Trump, with the impossibility of him accomplishing virtually anything if he doesn't have the House and the Senate to go along with his second term, this will be the year in 2020 where that decision just can't be made. You've got to vote a straight Republican ticket, at least for all of the federal offices, and I'm going to keep harping that message from here until Election Day 2020. It's just too crucial because of the opportunity we have with the president, current president of the United States.
Very achievable to hold the Senate and to take that House back from Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff. Very achievable to reelect President Donald Trump, and we must settle for nothing less, Randy.
All right, I lied to everybody when I said I'd tweet out the YouTube version of your Western Conservative Summit speech, but I will do it at the next break. I just didn't get it done yet. But you gave what may really, in retrospect, and get your take on it, I guess. Hard to critique your own work, I suppose, but perhaps the most important speech you've ever given. And one of the quotes that was grabbed from those who wanted to label you as just another in a long line of Islamophobes was, in talking about Muslims, you said, "They will tell you that a good and faithful Muslim can also be a good and faithful American. Sorry, but I don't see how." And you took off from there. Tell folks what you meant and why you thought it was important to have that be your topic at the Western Conservative Summit, which was really a referendum on religious liberty in this country.
Religious freedom boils down to our right to hold our own belief system as long as it doesn't harm our neighbor. And if that is taken away and Americans are in the process of losing it, we don't have America at all anymore. And my message to the Western Conservative Summit on the 12th of July was that we must think in a tough-minded way about what religious freedom does and doesn't mean. If you have a quasi-religion, a political totalitarian, all-consuming way of life with a religious wrapper around it called Islam, which desires to dominate the planet and to subject everyone put them to death if they won't submit, then that cannot be treated as just one more routine religion, that the mosque down the street is no different than the Baptist church or the Jewish synagogue down the street. It is not that. I don't have an answer, but I have a definition of the problem that I challenge all of us to grapple with and find our way to an answer. Here's what I mean about whether a faithful Muslim can be a faithful American. A faithful American believes that the U.S. Constitution, as it tells us, is the supreme law of the land. A faithful Muslim believes that Sharia law, their totalitarian political and economic and cultural system dominating every aspect of human behavior and communal life, is the supreme law, and that it must supersede any law of the country where they happen to find themselves, including the U.S. Constitution. So there's plenty of fellow traveling Muslims who are kind of casual about the teachings of their holy book, the Quran, that don't impose any threat to you and me whatsoever. They may be good neighbors, friendly co-workers, people that you deal with in the course of daily life, and you say, well, there's somebody that I could be friends with. Okay, so far so good. But a faithful Muslim wishes to see their political system override America's liberties in the Constitution. You just can't have it both ways. And we on the right, we Christians and indeed some Jews, amazingly, are asleep to this. And I am willing to try to wake people up at the risk of any amount of name-calling. Islamophobia, by the way, is a completely made-up smear word that simply intends to silence rational debate. What is a phobia? It's an irrational fear. That's what psychology tells us. Is it irrational to fear a system which, since the 7th century, has spread fire and sword and death and mayhem and domination across vast swaths of the earth, and renewed as recently as the Iran hostage taking of 1979 and the New York-Washington attacks of 2001? No, it is a very real and present danger to us, and we've got to wake up to it.
It's so easy for people to be misled about Islam because nobody wants to be considered a bigot or not giving people the benefit of the doubt. We were steeped in America, your generation, my generation, maybe a decade or two after our generation, that religious freedom, the right to pursue your religion as you see fit, is a fundamental promise of life here in the United States of America. But it doesn't take very long to understand that Islam is not just a religion, not just a way to worship God. It is a social structure. It is a political structure. It is the teachings of the Quran suggest, encourage, and direct adherents to actually lie about their ultimate goals if it furthers the cause of Islam. And so you talked about the undoubtedly millions of Muslims who wouldn't hurt a fly, good neighbors, good family people, all of that. But unless they're willing to call it out and call for a reformation of the literal implementation of the Quran, then it is a clear and present danger in America. And you can see examples of it where it has taken hold with Sharia law. Places like Dearborn, Michigan, enclaves in Minnesota are becoming more problematic. And people are asleep at the wheel. We're too caught up in the day-to-day drama over, you know, use of the word lynching, for example.
Randy, it's just simple. Americans do believe in freedom of religion for any religion that believes in freedom. I'm not just playing verbal tricks there. It's a very clear, understandable, simple concept. What is freedom of religion? Under the U.S. Constitution and the First Amendment, it says, live and let live if your religion believes in freedom. But an alleged religion, which is ultimately a political revolutionary ideology that wishes to deprive everyone of freedom, ought not be accorded the opportunity to run loose and get about depriving people of freedom. I don't have the answer. If I was in the state senate today, I don't know just what bill I would propose. One thing I would start with is something called American Law for American Courts, which has been enacted in some states, which simply says you can't bring Sharia law into an American court and justify domestic violence, justify feminine genital mutilation, justify honor killings. But I don't have the complete package of remedies that we are to enact in American law. I'd say that there are sedition laws on the books right now that are being ignored by prosecutors and law enforcement and executive branches of states and localities across the country that would allow a more vigilant look at what are the activities of Sharia, jihad, pursuing Muslims in those communities. Our law enforcement's hands have been tied. Our prosecutors' hands have been tied by a combination of a political correctness and edicts from higher executive authority that says you're just not going to go there. We're just not going to talk about that. This is exactly the muzzling of free inquiry, free speech, and free self-government that the Quran, Sharia, jihad-pursuing revolutionaries wish to impose on us. And we, so far, we're losing. The Muslim Brotherhood set out a long-term plan 50 years ago for an Islamic America. When I say that, some people are going to smile and shake their head and say, there goes John, the conspiracy theorist. No, it's on paper. It's written. It was accepted in court as an uncontested true document of the Muslim Brotherhood in a trial in Dallas 10 years ago. And they are now half a century ahead of us in trying to make America an Islamic nation. We've got to wake up.
People who will say, well, you know, too bad for Dearborn, too bad for those enclaves in Minnesota. And yet text messages coming in. Here's one, a woman who was refused medicine by an assigned doctor in Aurora because the doctor was Muslim and the texter included her Jewish ethnicity on her medical forms. She learned after the appointment that she was Muslim, went to an ER to get treated instead. She reported it. Nobody cares. And someone also writes that Jason Crow has come out supporting Sharia law-based lending. So it's creeping in. And Jason Crow, you know, there are definitely a lot of Muslims that live in CD6. So it's obviously he's playing to those folks who, if they are true Americans and truly believe in religious freedom, don't even understand what's happening through the implementation of their own religion. And so, you know, it all starts with waking people
Randy,
up.
In the limited time, let's just acknowledge the names of two out of 435 U.S. House members, Muslim women, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota and Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, in the U.S. Congress, that have gotten immense influence and sympathetic media coverage and the ability to play the system like a violin for the advancement of the victim narrative around Muslims. There's no victimization of Muslims. There is, on the contrary, a bloody, fiery, lethal history where you can look at a map of the whole world and wherever Islam-governed countries and cultures come in contact with another country or culture, it's a zone of fire, a zone of blood. It's easily documented. The numbers are there. We are blind to those very numbers. And that is what is coming to the United States of America. Why, people say there's been no 9/11 in 18 years. Thank God there has not. It's a combination of the vigilance of our authorities and the shrewdness of our adversaries, because the Muslims who wish an Islamic America realize that the worst thing they can do is stir the sleeping giant by another 9/11 type attack. They don't need violent jihad. They're engaging in what they call, this is their own term, civilizational jihad, to bring us down by our own miserable hands. That's a quote from the Muslim Brotherhood planning document. What could be more obvious than the way the media, the rest of the Democratic Party, and a lot of cowardly, confused Republicans play along with Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib on a daily basis?
And they're using, the Muslims are using, the Islamists are using the same successful strategy that the socialists and communists have used in America over the last 90 years. Slowly and surely implement into our schools, work it all the way down to the elementary level. Make sure that the news media, the newspapers, the movies are very careful in how they portray these folks and portray anyone who tries to point out the truth. And
Randy, just the other day, the U.S. Supreme Court turned down an opportunity to review a lower court decision that upheld a public school teacher making a fourth grade girl recite the Islamic submission prayer, supposedly under the guise of a comparative religions awareness class. If anything like that was done to make a kid in school against the teaching of her mom and dad and her own convictions as a 10-year-old, anything like that was done to make them recite a Christian or Jewish prayer or scripture, oh boy, the courts would come down on them with both feet. But it gets back to what we were talking about in the earlier segment about the inability of conservatives and Republicans to rally around a flawed but beautifully gifted president named Donald Trump. We won't take our own side in an argument. We have lost the civilizational and cultural and in some cases spiritual self-confidence to say, yes, we're right, and we're not going to apologize for being right, and we're not going to wear a kick me sign anymore. In my speech at the Western Conservative Summit, I mentioned as twin threats to America's liberties, beginning with religious freedom and all our freedoms after that, twin threats, the green, let's call it, wave of Islam, jihad, and Sharia, and the red wave of Marxism. Marxism is really behind political correctness. Marxism is behind multiculturalism. Marxism is behind the fashionable resurgence of socialism in the younger generation and on the campuses and now in the Democratic 2020 presidential field. Marxism says government will be your God. Islam says our God will be your government.
Yeah.
In either case, those of us who follow the God of the Judeo-Christian tradition, we are made into second-class citizens, and if we resist, we pay with our lives.
And, John,
we can't sit still for this.
Yeah, we can't. And we've got to end it there. The homosexuals, the socialists, the Marxists also need to wake up and realize they will be the first to be destroyed under majority Islamic rule, even right here in the United States of America. I'm all set to tweet out your speech. We need to get the views on that thing up. People can get the details, get the nuance of your remarks. Really appreciate the generosity of your time. Stay safe. be well, and I look forward to seeing you over the breakfast table here sometime real soon.
Enjoyed it, Randy. Thanks a million. Keep up the good fight, my friend.
You better believe it. Let's get right to the break so we've got time for a call or two on the other side. Peter Boyle Show, final segment next at 710 KNUS.
Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710KNUS.com. Message and data rates apply. Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
With lines on fire, we've got time for, I think, but one call. We'll bring in Karen. She's been waiting the longest. Karen, you got 60 seconds.
So kind of you. One point. I love John Andrews, but he's talking to the wrong people. It is the grassroots that recognize the threat that we're in, and God love him, Ken Buck does not. He's the one who needs to understand the stakes. The grassroots already does, and that's the reason for the split in the party right now.
Can't disagree with you. And Karen, I wish we had more time to explore.
No problem.
Do you agree with John that when push comes to shove and 2020 rolls around, that we still have to vote for as many of these, especially national Republicans, as we can because President Trump?
Sadly, yes. But we have to keep hammering away at our representatives to help them understand that they're the ones that are not explaining and showing that they understand the seriousness of the threat.
Thank you very, very much.
Yeah.
They have to understand that they cannot take our vote for granted. Period. That's it. All right. Music is here. Peter Boyle's back on Friday. Stephen Tubbs in the chair tomorrow morning. Billy Thorpe's been playing hurt today. Good job, Billy, and thanks for all of your help. All these days I've been here off and on. Really have enjoyed it. I did retweet John Andrews' speech. Follow me at Randy Corcoran. Check it out for yourself and share, share, share. Chuck and Julie at 1, Stephen Tubbs at 4. I'm Randy Corcoran. God loves you, and so do I.